Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Radio Free DC, where the freedom of speech is still free for now. Starring Jamie Winkler and Steve Winkler, your dedicated Radio Free DC hosts.
Talking about business.
Marshall, sounds like an SOS.
Holy whack, unlyrical lyrics, Andre. You're right.
To the rap mobile. Let's go.
Marshall.
Hey, Steve, Bill got a little upset with my questions, just walked out.
I know. Well, you know, I think he thought this was going to be a big opportunity to promote the Clinton Foundation.
Yeah, I think he thought we were going to throw him some softball questions like the media usually does. But
yeah,
on with the show.
On with the show, man.
Yeah, so what is going on out there these days? Well, I mean, it's only been 2 weeks. It seems like so many things have happened since our last show.
Yeah, some very tragic things. You know, we want to send out our condolences to the families of the slain police officers. You know, such a horrible thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people just don't realize how, they don't always think about how difficult a job the police have. And,
yeah,
you know, the police forces around the country are no different than any other segment of society in many ways, not the least of which is that, look, you know, you're going to have in any company, in any part of society, some bad apples. And to be sure, mm-hmm. you know, in police departments, you know, sometimes you have bad cops. But the vast majority of them are phenomenal people. And mm-hmm. They have a very hard job, and they love what they do. But, you know, what was really disturbing to me is how, you know, it's as tragic as this situation is, it's the way that people are beginning to treat them, you know, with disrespect, with just these assumptions that every single one of them are some kind of racist, homicidal maniacs. And when, in fact, the vast majority of them are great people, and they're there to protect us. So, you know, I had to say that in light of what's happened. And, you know, and to anyone listening out there, you know, the police deserve your support. They really do.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, I mean, a lot of problems to be avoided. We just don't resist, you know, if we don't mouth off to him. I used to have a friend that would start cussing him out every time he got pulled over. I couldn't believe it would always make it much worse than it could have been if he would have just kept his mouth shut.
But, and you know, I have to say this, yeah. That for anyone listening that doubts what we're saying, you know, thinks that the police just profile, you know, they only profile African Americans. I had an incident about 10 years ago. Where I got pulled over by a police officer. I don't even remember what it was for. It was like something minor, but when he came up to the car. I had that morning, I was in the process of cleaning out my car, and I had, like, you know, pulled everything out of the console, and I had it all on the seat, including the registration and my wallet. So when he came up to the window, he said, license registration, please. And without even thinking, I was kind of nervous. I quickly reached over with my right hand to grab my registration. And in like a split second, he screamed at me. He yelled, "Freeze!" And as he yelled that, he put his hand on his service weapon and he threw himself up against the side of my car. And I will never forget the look on his face, like the fear that I saw on his face. And I said, I'm not moving. Is it okay? And he looked and he said, "Okay, you're okay." I said, "Are you sure?"
What time period was this in your life? Was it your wild,
No. This was recent. This was in the last 10 years. And, I'm a white suburbanite guy, you know? I mean, I was, like, dressed in, like, my work clothes, which would be dress pants, button-down shirt, you know? I mean, but it got me thinking. It made me realize, you know, these guys lay their lives on the line every day. And what people don't understand, you know, this is a glaring statistic. Most murders of police officers happen on routine traffic stops. Now, what does that tell you? And when I heard that statistic, immediately I thought of that incident that had happened. I'd heard about that statistic.
Just being pulled over for a tail light, the guy ends up running, and it's terrible. I mean, you know,
terrible.
Here's the thing. You have to realize that both sides are on edge, and the finger is just waiting to pull that trigger if you run or try to, especially if you threaten him or if it looks like you have a weapon. I don't think you should run down a guy and shoot him in the back, obviously. I mean, that's totally wrong. Guy ends up getting shot in the back. I mean, and I have to ask, why don't they shoot him in the kneecap instead of shooting him right in the chest? I mean,
tell you why that is.
It's a tough situation, but at least shoot to wound, maim, so that they are, you know, so that they can't continue attacking you. Don't kill the guy, you know.
Look, I've never been in law enforcement, but from what I know, that these things happen in split second increments. They happen like instantly. And the way that the police are trained, and it is correct, is they are trained to aim for center mass. Because, you know, if you shoot somebody in the kneecap or in the leg or whatever, in a split second of time as you're doing that, that can end your life, because you might hit them in the leg, but if they're drawing a weapon on you, they could put a couple rounds in your head or in your heart. And so that's why.
Right, but at least you would have that option to fire again if you felt that was about to happen. You know, you'd have the option. Once
yeah,
the guy's dead, he's dead. There's no other option.
Yeah.
He's dead.
But
he's
like gone. I said, I mean, you know, that this is why, you know, just like what you just said, what you just alluded to, if you get pulled over by the police, don't mouth off, don't resist. You know, if they make you get out of the car, you know, don't start mouthing off. Don't, you know, start walking away towards the rear of your vehicle or, you know, doing things like that where that, or go around to the trunk, or, you know, because this is how police officers are killed. The best thing to do is keep your hands on the wheel, have your license and registration, and, you know, and look, most police cars have dash cams. So I think almost all of them do now. So that stops being recorded, and at least you have a peace of mind of knowing that. It's just that I don't want to belabor the point anymore, but I do think it was important for us to, you know, acknowledge that these fallen officers, and also just, you know, also acknowledge that, you know, that they have a hard job. Now, to your another point you brought up,
every day they have a hard time.
They have a hard job. The other point you brought up is that, yes, there have been situations with bad cops where they've really hurt people. And, you know, I have some friends that have ended up in the hospital for doing nothing. So that does happen. But let's just not assume that, you know, every single cop is a bad cop. The vast majority of them are really good people, and they have a hard job. So, you know, that's all I have on that. But I wanted to...
Let's go to another song. We're going to play number 5 on our track list, Watch What You're Doing by Larry Norman.
Killed a chicken, she thought it was a duck. She put it on the table with his legs sticking up. Papa broke his glasses when he fell down drunk. Tried to drown the kitty cat, turned out to be a skunk. You gotta watch what you're doing, didn't you know?
Hey, if you want to catch a good contractor, check these guys out. Cap Enterprises, LLC. They are professionals. They're licensed. They're insured. They're going to come in and they're going to do it right. They get in, get done, get out. You know what I'm saying? Just the way it ought to be. Now, if you have any projects, commercial, residential, these are the guys to call. I'm telling you. 703-980-1632. These guys will do it right. And they're not going to drop a bomb on you. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to leave you hanging. And they are professionals. These are the kind of guys I call whenever I need something done. So give them a call, 703-980-1632. That's Cap Enterprises. Or check them out on the web, CAPART. Hey, watch out. Oh, there goes that new. Looks like I got to call Cap Enterprises. All right, check them out on the web, like I was saying, CAPARTCO.com. That's Cap Enterprises, and, Celebrity Voices Impersonated.
Okay, so that we got a soundbite. This is Rich Vera. He's got a word from the Lord about Donald Trump on Sid Roth's show. Rich Vera.
Hello, Sid Roth here. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. You know, many people are wondering, what is really going on in Washington, D.C.? My guest found himself in the spirit, supernaturally in the White House for 8 hours observing.
The few islands in the Caribbean that will be Christian, that will be dominant as Christians, and churches are going to grow by the benefits of what God's doing that for.
Things seem really wild in the oil industry now. What did God show you about oil?
Yes, I saw oil beginning to lose its power over the nations of the world. That God was going to cause a new system of fueling our lives, you know, our societies, where to the point that oil was not going to be, the oil was going to become secondary to what God was going to bring on the earth. And I believe that's in the process of maybe even coming to light in the next few years. But God has things that man has not seen yet in existence, yet they're coming from the ground, they're coming from the earth.
Tell me about Donald Trump.
Donald Trump. Oh, my goodness. You know, the Lord gave me a vision. I'm not political. I'm not, you know, for either party.
I understand.
You know, but the Spirit of the Lord told me that there was a prayer. There was something that he had as a younger man with the Lord, that the Lord marked his life and separate him. And because of that, it's caused the prosperity that he has experienced come on his life, in spite of what people believe of his belief systems. But this is a man who's going to be used of God to bring to light a lot of dirt. And for many years to come, you're going to hear him as a man who's standing in the forefront and on the media to expose the secrets of darkness in society and in government here in America.
Speaking about the secrets going on in government, you found yourself in the spirit, in the White House, observing everything that was going on for a good 8 hours. bottom line, what are some of the things
you
saw?
Yeah, you know, it sounds crazy, but I was going to sleep and I felt on a deep sleep on my bed and I went into a profound dream vision and I hover over the White House and I hover over the room where Obama does his work and I was there and I could hear conversations. I could see him, all his stuff that he's doing, and I could see people in his circle coming to him and they'll have papers written with things and they will put on his table and this is what you gotta say and this is what you gotta do, and he'll be like trying to say, well, about this, and so this is what he gotta be done. And he just started like to tear up, and it was like, in a way, he wasn't able to handle the pressure of what's coming. And I'm watching all this. I have no idea what I was there. And the Spirit of the Lord came from my left side and said, I'm going to corner him in a place that I'm going to cause him to call on my name. And I'm beginning to take things out and put him in positions that he will call on my name. And that's what the Spirit of the Lord told me. And I believe that day will come that God is going to use circumstances for him to discover the real, not the historical Jesus, because the Lord told me he believes in the historical Jesus, but he'll find the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, and he will call upon his name.
What is going to happen quickly in America?
You know, America, there is a spirit of fear that's being released on the land. Yet the Lord told me this, for you believers, Isaiah 60, the Bible says, gross darkness will cover the earth, but the glory of the Lord will rise upon you. And I believe that America is going to see some dark, dark seasons. But however, the body of Christ, you and I, God's glory is going to surround us like a bubble. And when the world suffers, you are going to see, like the children of Israel, the protection, the backing up, and the provision of God. I saw great light lifting up the body of Christ, and I saw great darkness over America. But the Lord also told me this is the season that he's raising up evangelists in the land of America, where evangelists will go through all the corners of this nation, and the days of the gospels and the days of the parks and the gospels being preached on the plazas are coming back in America, where there are going to be signs, wonders, and miracles in places that are not churches, and a mighty harvest is coming in this nation in this season.
All right, I want you to release what God has in you right now in the next minute or so.
Yes, sir. Many of you are watching and you watch too much television.
So that kind of goes hand in hand with what we were listening to on the Mark Taylor prophecy. Steve, mm-hmm. You know, the one about the retired fireman had that one prophetic word. And Mark also alluded, this is where you weigh things out. You weigh the words out that you're hearing,
mm-hmm.
the prophetic words, and you pray and you ask God to show you who his man is. If the body of Christ would just do that, you know, and not despise the prophetic words, you know, the Apostle Paul said, do not despise prophecy. But if we listen to the prophecies and we listen with looking to God first for God to bear witness and show us, you know, which of these words are true, mm-hmm. you'll see a lot of confirming words, a lot of words that confirm each other and what's happening. And so, yeah, I was interested in your thoughts on what he just said.
You know, it would be really interesting to do would be to go back to the late 70s and people that operated in prophetic ministry at that time, and see if there were any prophetic words about the next president. Because there's no doubt in my mind, I really believe that the hand of God was on Ronald Reagan. Now, you know, Reagan mm-hmm. wasn't perfect, you know. But Reagan, there were certain things about him, just in terms of he was definitely a bright guy, smart guy. You know, in spite of how the media and the Democrat Party tried to portray him as a dunce.
Yeah.
But I really believe that God gifted him with wisdom. You know, I'm talking about is, you know, that Reagan wisely saw, and this is interesting because we're kind of picking up where we left off from about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Reagan wisely saw, he saw two things. He knew that he could accomplish two great goals in one, that if he could turn the American economy around, and he saw rightly the way to do that was to unleash the incredible entrepreneurial potential American business, small and large, big business. And he saw that if he could do that and create prosperity, that then that rising tide would lift all boats, which was a quote that he had actually used in regards to free market economy. He also saw that would also provide the finances to increase military spending, because the Carter administration slashed it. And as a consequence, you know, Russia invades Afghanistan, right? And so when you look at what he did and you look at the way he handled the media, and to me, you know, it goes beyond what a gifted person he was. I think that there was that the hand of God was on him. I really believe that. And the same might be true for Donald Trump. Now, you know, so what I'm saying is that it would be interesting to see what kind of prophetic words there were prior to Reagan being elected the first time. In Trump's case, you know, we know from Scripture that we have to test, we have to prove all things, hold firmly to what's good, and prophecies have to be judged. You know, Paul said in Corinthians, let the prophet speak by two or three and let the others judge.
All right, now let's go to the next soundbite. Doug, could you go to soundbite number four? It's from the Paul Jackson, and Steve likes John Paul Jackson, the late John Paul Jackson, by the way. Just last year, he passed away, went on to be with the Lord, but many beheld him as a prophet and a great dream interpreter. But he has this prophecy in soundbite four that he... actually, it's a dream interpretation.
It would be interesting to compare any prophetic words that people had to about Reagan to the prophetic words that we're hearing about Trump. That would be very interesting to compare them.
John Paul Jackson, interpret a dream that points to a Donald Trump presidency? That's next on Mindshift. Hi, I'm Lou Caminale, and this is a special edition of Mindshift. Actually, it's an exclusive, for we have uncovered a videotape of the late prophet John Paul Jackson. He was giving a dream interpretation in 2012, and only when you look at it now does it look like he is actually talking about Donald J. Trump in the White House. Watch.
This is a dream from one of our producers, Pam. She said it was me, Jen James, who's the producer for Marcus and Joni, and some other people that I don't recall. We were in a room watching a flat screen TV during Refreshing Times conference, waiting for one of the roll-ins to start playing. The screen starts to malfunction, and then all of a sudden a feed comes up, and it's the White House. You could see the Washington Mall, some other monuments, cars in a parking lot. The feed was wavy, not very strong, but it was in color. So we're looking at each other like, what? What is going on? And immediately in my head, I'm thinking, okay, here we go. It's happening. It's starting. It's the last of the last days.
Stop the tape. Let's have a little time frame here. They're talking about a time of things going on in the White House where people are thinking this is the end of the end days. Now, how many ministries have been suggesting that Obama is the Antichrist and he will usher in the last days? Now, you've heard it. I know you have. Now that we have a time frame, let's continue on with the tape.
It's happening. It's starting. It's the last of the last days, Antichrist, one world government, etc. Then all of a sudden, this big bulldozer bulldozes through the parking lot of cars and right through the White House, just like it was a...
Let's go back to his response.
Wow. Well, that dream, that particular dream is obviously a dream about the last day. So it tends to be more on the vision side of things, even though there's symbolism in it. The great thing is this, the bulldozer. Now, you may not think the bulldozer is a great thing. The great thing is the bulldozer, because you're seeing man's plans and you're seeing God saying, but I have a plan that will bulldoze right through the plans of men.
Yay.
There is, and it's the fact that it wasn't really clear, it was kind of fuzzy, indicates that none of this is for sure. There's plans of men that change because people react certain ways, people pray, and so on. But God says, in essence, pray that my bulldozer comes in and goes right through the middle of this mess, and everything gets leveled out. It's like I will take down the plans of men, and I'm going to raise up my plans. But I have to take down the plans of men first. So very important dream, especially a dream to pray about.
Now, there's more to this word that I want to share with you. But before we do, I want to ask you a question. Is this talking about Donald Trump? If so, or if not, let me hear from you. Write the comments down below this video. Now, I want to bring to your attention the fact that John Paul says that we need to be praying for this nation like never.
Okay, so, Steve, that word right there, that sounds like Donald Trump, doesn't it? Sounds like he's talking about. And if you'll notice, you had to pay pretty close attention to what was going on there. It's kind of a long clip, but... Yeah, the bulldozer and the mowing down the White House like it was a deck of cards, mm-hmm. You know. I mean, the symbology that's being used in this this dream and his interpretation of the dream sounds very, very much like it could be talking about Donald Trump. And they started out in the dream, they were watching TV, and then all of a sudden something takes over and they see this happening right before their eyes on TV. But she said it got kind of fuzzy. If we could go to soundbite 5.
Did the late prophet John Paul Jackson interpretation of mind shift? Actually, it's an exclusive, for we have uncovered that he was going to win illegitimately. He did. Now, let's go back to his response.
Wow. Well, that dream, that particular dream is obviously a dream about the last day. So it tends to be more on the vision side of things, even though there's symbolism in it. The great thing is this, the bulldozer. Now, you may not think the bulldozer is a great thing. The great thing is the bulldozer, because you're seeing man's plans and you're seeing God saying, but I have a plan that will bulldoze right through the plans of men. There is, and it's the fact that it wasn't really clear, it was kind of fuzzy, indicates that none of this is for sure. There's plans of men that change because people react certain ways, people pray, and so on. But God says, in essence, pray that my bulldozer comes in and goes right through the middle of this mess, and everything gets leveled out. It's like I will take down the plans of men, and I'm going to raise up my plans. But I have to take down the plans of men first. So very important dream, especially a dream to pray about.
Now, there's more to this word that I want to share with you. But before we do, I want to ask you a question. Is this talking about Donald Trump? If so, or if not, let me hear from you. Write the comments down below this video. Now, I want to bring to your attention the fact that John Paul says that we need to be praying for this nation like never before. You see, Satan desires to destroy the nation. He desires to bring it down before God could move powerfully, which he is expected to do in this nation like never before. He is expected to bring a revival and awakening such that we've never seen. Satan would like to thwart God's plans, and we have a responsibility to pray against these things that are coming to pass. Hey, let me interrupt myself by answering a question you might be having. You might think, oh, well, we can't pray against certain things that are coming to pass. Well, let me just assure you that we are not yet in Daniel's last 7 years that Jesus Christ spoke about in the Olivet Prophecy. I have more details about that in this video that you might want to check on later. But for now, we are before that time, and we can declare a thing and see it come to pass. Now, back to Lou. Jonah is the example that I want to share with you. At the time, God decreed judgment upon Nineveh. And Jonah was more or less sitting on his hands. He wanted destruction to come upon Nineveh. But God had to reprimand him and say, Jonah, don't you realize that my heart is to save people, not to destroy them? You need to be aligning yourself with my principles, with my desire. I want to save, not destroy. In the same way, you and I need to align ourselves with God's will in preserving this nation and not destroying it, because God has a plan. Listen to what John Paul says now.
What, any significance to being the fact that we're watching Refreshing Times Conference?
Thank you. The Refreshing Times Conference, basically the reason why you saw it in the setting was in a Refreshing Times Conference, is that God's reminding you, I have a plan. That is, the bulldozer says, I'm going to bulldoze through this, and refreshing times will come. But there's certain things that have to be taken down and other things that are going to be built up. And so the Refreshing Times says, it's not the conference, it's the title of the conference that says, I want to refresh America, but it's going to take some bulldozing in order for that to happen.
So there you have it. There is hope for America, and I hope that you'll join with me in prayer for this nation. Satan desires to destroy it. Satan desires to bring martial law upon this nation. I know I put together a video about that a couple of years ago, but just because Satan desires this doesn't mean that we need to be standing still and doing nothing. No, rather, we should be saying, not on our watch. That's not going to happen. So join with me and pray earnestly for this nation like never before, so that God's will can prevail. And so thank you for watching this Mind Shift. Like, subscribe, share. We're going to see you.
All right. Now this was taken off of Mind Shift, a program called Mind Shift with Lou Kaminali. But anyway, Steve, what are your thoughts?
Well, I don't know that there's much I can add to that.
Well, you know, says in Matthew 24:15-20, after you see the abomination of desolation, Jesus is talking, and he's talking about the end times, and he says that you pray that your flight not be on a Sabbath day, or that you don't have any young with you, you don't have children, that you don't have, you're not pregnant with child or whatever. Pray, so we can pray for the times and the seasons. It doesn't mean that the prophetic word isn't true if it seems as though it's not coming to pass. A lot of times what God gives us is a hope. He gives us an impression and an ideal, a dream that he has, and he wants us to speak in alignment with that. And that's why I say we need to pray for who's God's choice for president
right.
of America.
You see, and, let me say something about that. You hear people sometimes that say, you know, they say, well, you know, that they'll talk about an unrighteous leader or a wicked leader, and they'll go, well, you know, God put them in there. Well, you know, not necessarily. I mean, it might be exactly what you're saying, you know. What is the saying?
Right.
All evil needs to triumph is for good men to do nothing. So,
right,
so
right.
That's when I said there was not much I could add. There isn't, because I mean, he said it all. You know, if believers, followers of Jesus, need to be in prayer, interceding, that you know God would intervene and move on the hearts of people, voters, so that you know that people. God would move on their hearts, and that the person that God would want to be in the White House would be in there. Now, in regards to Hillary Clinton, I mean, there's just so much scandal and so many just very disturbing things about the Clintons.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at it, and I'm not saying this, because I'm more of a conservative position in politics, she would not be a good president. She just wouldn't. And, you know, when I look at Trump, yeah, sure, Trump has had some of his own personal indiscretions, but, you know, Trump is driven by certain things in life. He loves excellence. He can be kind of ruthless as a businessman, but, you know, most big
business
guys are.
He's a bulldozer.
But he's a bulldozer. That's what I was going to say. you know, he at times he is like a bulldozer. So I could see, I'm not saying that this prophecy is from God, but, you know, I could definitely see where it could be. And I can see some similarities with Reagan. Now, you know, Reagan and Trump are two different people, but, you know, Reagan, some of the knock on Reagan was, oh, he's an actor. What does he know about being president? You know, and in that way, I see some similarities. Oh, Trump's a business guy. What does he know about being president? Well, I'll tell you one thing. He's not afraid to speak his mind. He's not afraid to to say what he really thinks. And so,
and he won't be bullied by the media, and he doesn't allow political correctness to keep him from saying what needs to be said.
Think of the image of a bulldozer, right? I mean, think of a bulldozer going through a neighborhood. You know, I mean, you know, I don't care if the house is made out of brick. That whatever's in its path is getting mowed down. You know, and so I when I look at this, I'm not, you know, going to go out on a limb and say, oh, I believe that this is of God. But I could see where it would be is what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to
have you prayed and asked for who God's choice for a president is? Have you taken it to prayer? Have you asked him to show you?
Just let
don't
me know.
Sit around and say, about well, that ain't going to happen. One I don't think minute. That's ever going to happen. So let's go out with James Taylor, Steamroller Baby. And we'll talk to you all next time.
See you next time.
While I'm a steamroller, babe, I'm bound to roll all over you. Yes, I'm a steamroller now, babe, I'm bound to roll all over you. I'm gonna inject your soul with some sweet rock and roll.